nobody open. Running out of time. Finally throws, and it is gone! Touchdown, Dyrell Roberts!
Has time. Throws.
Yarder. Does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. Man, I
feel like money. This is Moneyline. Welcome to Moneyline, presented by Full Press Coverage on a Thanksgiving special edition episode. I am joined by my wonderful co-host, Ben King. Ben, what are you thankful for on this Thanksgiving edition?
CJ, I am thankful for in a year where everything is upside down, at least we still have college football.
That is a beautiful thing to be thankful for. I am thankful for Hugh Freeze and the Liberty Flames giving me one football team. All I ask is between my college teams and my NFL team that one is competitive. They have all out delivered this year, despite the last second blocked field goal by NC State.
Still covered.
That's the worst part about it, Ben. I bet it NC State. They were my insurance. I thought, you know what? I'm going to bet the spread on NC State because the over-under is not, or the straight-up pick's not going to win me anything. So I bet the spread. Liberty covers that, but they don't win the game. It's terrible. But nevertheless, it was a great run. It's not over yet. Liberty's going to play UMass on Friday. And then next week, big game, potentially college game day. Let's hope so. Liberty will go to Myrtle Beach to play the Sea Chickens. The Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina, who remain undefeated after beating Appalachian State this past weekend. Yep. So today's lineup, we have Notre Dame and Carolina, Iowa State and Texas, Mississippi State and Ole Miss, the Egg Bowl of the South. Remember, there's an Egg Bowl up in Washington, too. And it's always been a competition each year to see which Egg Bowl do people least care about. So this year it's Mississippi State and Ole Miss. We've got Maryland and Indiana on the docket. And then we are going to end things with the Iron Bowl, which has Alabama as a tasty 24.5-point favorite. We're going to get to that one at the end of the podcast. Let's recap what we have done so far this season. So I had, yet again, another losing week. So I went 5-0 in Week 8. And since Week 8, I have had four straight losing weeks. And Ben, on quite the contrary, has had three straight losing weeks, two of which have been 3-2.
I've had winning weeks.
What's that?
I've had winning weeks.
Winning weeks. Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't say losing weeks, did I? Did I say losing weeks?
That's okay.
I'm okay. I've messed up for early on. I'm thankful for Ben and his correction. But Ben has had three straight winning weeks. He is 33-25 on the year, which is a very, very healthy percentage right now. Beautiful. I'm actually the opposite of Ben. I'm 25-33 on the year. So, I thought last week I had an opportunity to catch up. I have not. And this is, quite honestly, Ben, this has been one of my worst years ever of picking college football.
I'm sorry, I'm your kryptonite, man.
Northwestern really messed me up last week.
Hey, you got to believe in the Fighting Reese Davises.
The Fighting Reese Davises.
those what? Athletes out there.
I mean, is that comment on sports or on whatever ESPN show it was? Was that not the dumbest thing that you've seen? Just a weird comment.
Pretty dumb. I mean, I understand that they're saying, well, it is dumb because, like, Reese Davis is like a, I don't know his age, middle-aged old white dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, saying that the team has the athletic ability of Reese Davis is a slap in the face. And I'm really glad
he said
that,
it on a show with Reese Davis. Like, that's just so socially awkward.
I think he was saying it, poking fun at Reese Davis for, like, his belief in the team. Which, I mean,
this man does not need to explore any career in comedy.
I thought it was funny.
Talk about a joke that doesn't land well. Goodness, this one has backfired for him. Yep. So Northwestern gets the win over Wisconsin last week, which was, you know, I got to be honest, Ben, I felt really confident about picking Wisconsin in that game. I certainly did not think Northwestern was going to win straight up. But, you know, I watched that game, and I watched Indiana-Ohio State, and my takeaway from the Northwestern-Wisconsin game was, Northwestern just is flat out the better team in this one. And my other thought was, you know, teams that are having a down year, Virginia Tech, Penn State, South Carolina, the excuses are over. If Michigan, throw them in there too. If Northwestern, which, by the way, is like the Big Ten equivalent to Duke, it's incredibly difficult to get into. It's not in a region that's easy to recruit from. If they can go and just beat down Wisconsin like that, there's no reason for Virginia Tech and Penn State and Michigan and South Carolina to be this bad. All of those programs should be in a different category than Northwestern.
It's true. I mean, but that just goes to show, you know, kind of the coaching talent at Northwestern, which means he's probably not going to be there that long.
No, I mean, Pat Fitzgerald is a heck of a coach. He, and we're going to get to this in a little bit, Matt Campbell, I think, are two guys that have real NFL interest this year. They may just skip the elite college jobs altogether and head straight to the NFL, which is going to be very interesting. But these two guys are just doing an incredible job. And, I mean, I watched Northwestern last week, and my one takeaway is, listen, stop making excuses for your coach. I mean, if Pat Fitzgerald can go into Northwestern to win like this, there ain't no reason Virginia Tech can't be competitive. So let's move on to game one. We have the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. This is a really, really, really tricky spot. They head to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, to take on UNC. Irish favored by 4.5 with an over-under of 66. Ben, take it away for me.
Yeah, so looking at this, I got in when it was Notre Dame minus 4. But look, it's a game that could definitely be a letdown for Notre Dame, so we have to kind of watch out for that. Looking at the stats, Notre Dame's beating teams 38-17. Outgaining teams 463-302. On the inverse, UNC is beating teams 43-31, outgaining teams 563-414. So, in a comparison, they both score well. Notre Dame has a better defense, and maybe that's going to be the difference in this one. We'll have to see. Ian Book is playing pretty well for Notre Dame. Not great, but, you know, he was really the difference maker in that Clemson game. And he's 62% on the year, 1,817 yards, 11 touchdowns, and one interception. So his ability to not turn the ball over has been very good for Notre Dame this year. He's also run for 361 yards and had three touchdowns on the ground. The run-pass game for Notre Dame is pretty solid, with Kerryon Williams, 777 yards, 5.7 yards per carry, and 10 touchdowns for their running back. Looking at UNC, we know Sam Howell and his name. Honestly, he has better stats. 67.7% on the year, 2,631 yards. 23 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, so more INTs. We've definitely seen those make a difference, FSU. He's also run for 63 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, between the two of these, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. UNC has the benefit of it being at their house. However, I don't think that really matters as much. When you look at this, I think if UNC hadn't dropped the game to FSU or that game to Virginia, then they would be in a spot to potentially play for the ACC title in this one. But they're not. So I don't know if they really have anything to prove besides just the fact that they're not garbage this year. Notre Dame, on the other hand, really needs to win this one to secure their spot in the college football playoff, because they could still be kicked out depending on what happens if they lose to Clemson in the ACC championship game. So Notre Dame has everything to lose. UNC really has nothing to win from this. I think Notre Dame comes in, they take care of business, they win, cover, and the score goes over 42-35.
UNC has everything to win by winning this. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. I would push back on that. The one thing I will agree with you on is the play of Ian Book. And this was something that I said at the beginning of the season. Everybody was talking about these ACC quarterbacks, and everybody's talking about Trevor Lawrence and De'Arik King and Sam Howell and Hendon Hooker and even Chase Bryce. And I'm going, guys, Ian Book is the second best quarterback in this conference. And I like De'Arik King, and I like Hendon Hooker, and I like a lot of these other guys, Sam Howell even. But Ian Book is the second best quarterback in this conference. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's got a heck of a deep ball. He's got a great touch pass. He can run the ball if he needs to. He can scramble if he needs to. He's a great quarterback, and he's done a very, very good job with Notre Dame. He's 50% of the reason Notre Dame is here. Brian Kelly is the other 50% of the reason Notre Dame is here. This is a great quarterback and a great coach team. Now, Notre Dame, this is a key, though. They have lost 5 of their last 6 games as road favorites by 4 points or less. And there's a lot of talk this week about how Notre Dame's defense has been really sloppy the past couple of weeks. Clemson scored 40 with a backup quarterback, and Boston College scored 31. So that doesn't bode well considering that UNC's offense ranks 10th in the nation. If Notre Dame's defense does not show up in this game, UNC is going to get the ball into the end zone. It's going to happen. Now that's a concern. But here's what's more concerning, and this is the point I think a lot of people are missing. UNC's defense hasn't been able to stop anyone the entire season except for Syracuse in week 1. And, I mean, let's be honest, who hasn't stopped Syracuse? if UNC is to be in this game, they can only win one way, and that's on offense. Notre Dame, on the flip side, they can win games multiple ways. They can get into a defensive battle if they need to. They have the talent to do that. They can run the ball on you if they need to. They can pass on you if they need to. They are not subject to winning only one way, the way UNC is. However, this is UNC's and Mack Brown's and Sam Howell's game of the season. Because you have to look at the ACC standings and how this could play out. If they can beat Notre Dame, they put themselves into conversation for the ACC championship game. They get Miami in 2 weeks. That would knock them down to a 2-loss team. The UNC would have the edge because of the head-to-head. And Notre Dame ends their year at Wake Forest, a team that hasn't been easy for anyone. So again, is it likely? No, but if UNC finds a way to win this game, I think all of a sudden I start looking at that Notre Dame-Wake Forest game going, hold on, we maybe have something here, and I think UNC knows, hey, there's a slight little glimmer of hope that we could get in there and reach the ACC championship game, but the window, the doorway to getting there is to beating Notre Dame this week. And I think Mack Brown, this is a spot where he's going to shine. I love the over in this one. The over-under is 66 points. But I think Notre Dame pulls out the win. But with UNC and their motivation and an elite offense, they're going to keep this close. 4.5 to me is too much to give up. The line, by the way, at one point was 7.5. That's trimmed down substantially. Give me Notre Dame 45, UNC 42. It's going to be a barn burner, and we're going way over. I've got 87 for my over. Forget 66 points.
Gosh, I love it. You're taking UNC to cover.
I am.
What, is this?
Oh, it's about to get all crazy today, Ben.
I really wanted to take UNC, but when you see Notre Dame, I was like, maybe this is the game where they choke, but I just don't see it happening. I don't see it happening in this game. Yeah, it is.
To your point, I don't see Notre Dame losing, but I think this is a real tricky spot. Notre Dame coming off that Boston College scarer where they go, okay, we can breathe, and now they're going to come play UNC, and I think UNC is going to want to punch them in the mouth early. I think they're going to be looking for that big shocker play. And like, if you remember last year, UNC kind of got Clemson in a similar situation where Clemson mm-hmm. caught off guard just enough. And UNC, that was their game of the year last year. They had that one circled. They knew they were a step ahead of Clemson the entire way through. And I think this is one where you could very well get that. This UNC team, they've underperformed this year, but it's not been because they're a bad team. It's been because the expectations on them were just so through the roof and stupid at the start of the year, which is why I gave them a hard sell. Now they've kind of come back down to earth, and everybody's like, oh, I'm going to take Notre Dame. UNC's not a bad team. They just weren't as good as the expectations we gave them at the start of the year. So I actually really like them in the spot, although I'm still going to take the Irish to win it.
They're not a bad team, but they've lost some bad games.
They've had some bad losses. You know, you're absolutely right. All right, let's move on to game two. Iowa State will play Texas. The line here is actually Longhorns favored by 1.5. Are over under 57. So Matt Campbell versus Tom Harmon. Ben, what do you see with this one?
Yeah, so look, Texas has come back to life after looking like garbage early on in the season, much like Oklahoma, and we saw what they did last week. However, this Iowa State team, we've been saying since kind of early on in the season, dark horse to win the Big 12. And right here, this could very well decide, you know, one of the teams that go over to the Big 12 championship. So I think Iowa State here is really needing to prove themselves. And so let's break down the numbers. Iowa State's been beating teams 34-23, outgaining teams 438-334. Texas has been beating teams 40-30, outgaining teams 437-401. If you look at the quarterbacks between these two very good quarterbacks, Brock Purdy for Iowa State, 63.7% on the year, 17-13, 13 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 253 yards on the ground, and 3 rushing touchdowns. On the other side of the ball, Sam Ellinger at Texas, really good guy, not a great year. 58.8%, 18-34, 22 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 323 on the ground, and 7 touchdowns on the ground. So if you look at the two quarterbacks, pretty similar. You might have a slight edge with Purdy. But then if you look at the rest of the team, there's a good bit of wide receiver talent at Texas, but they don't have any real stars. And then you have Breece Hall at Iowa State, who's had 1,169 yards, 6.5 yards per carry, and 15 touchdowns on the ground. So I think Iowa State has the slight edge when it comes to one playing in this game, and they're, of course, playing at Texas. So I think if you look at the line, that's because of it being a home game. Texas has not looked fantastic as of late. Just beating West Virginia by 4. Oklahoma State, really late in that game. Early on, they lost to TCU in Oklahoma. And that Oklahoma game really was, a heartbreaker for Sam Ellinger. I have Iowa State in this one. I have them winning, covering, and the score going over 35-31.
Wow, 35-31. Are we ready to get weird? Have I not made this episode weird enough? It's about, I'm just telling you, like, my it's next several week, picks, it's going to get weird. All right. And this one, I'll be honest, I didn't have a strong feeling about this one, and I didn't see anything statistically that really made me feel strong one way or the other, but I do know this. Matt Campbell is a name that has really, really, really been heating up recently. He is now being mentioned along with Lincoln Riley to be one of the top coaches in the college game that could make that switch from college to pro. And if he's going to do it, this would be a heck of a year to do it, because there's going to be jobs. In fact, there's already one where you can get a franchise quarterback. So, I mean, we saw what Carolina did with Matt Rhule. There's a lot of people that like that model now, and I think are going to try and copy it. Not to mention, they're going to Austin, Texas. Well, there's an NFL opening not too far from Austin, Texas, in Houston with the Texans. So if Iowa State goes into Texas and beats the Longhorns, you can't tell me that there's not people associated with the Texans that aren't going to watch that game and say, hey, maybe we should give this guy a look. So I'm expecting a super focused effort schematically from Iowa State. And here's why that's important. Texas is effectively coming off of a bye week due to their cancellation against Kansas. Now, let's be honest, if they had played Kansas, that probably would have been a bye week too, so it's basically the same thing. Normally, you would think bye week would equal overperformance the next week, right? Because they're well-rested, more time to prepare, all of that stuff. But I would argue that all of that is offset by a coach who could be looking for a really, really green pasture that could be over in Houston. And I think he looks at Texas. It's a big brand. This could be a marquee win, a chance to put his name on the map. This is it. But this game, if you look at the teams on paper, it's really, really close. Both teams have a good quarterback, Brock Purdy and Sam Ellinger. Both teams don't really do anything else well, though. Neither team has a very good run game. Neither team is great in the red zone. I think the difference, though, is that Iowa State is more disciplined, and they don't get penalized nearly as much as Texas, who is one of the most penalized teams in the country. I don't respect Tom Herman. It's not that I don't respect him. I don't think he's an elite coach. I don't think he is the guy for Texas. I think eventually Texas is going to have to move on. And I think when you get a coach like Matt Campbell, who's incredible, and you get a team that's super, super disciplined, I think we're going to get an emphasized version of that team. And then you got to think, the last part about this is think about the line here. And this is how I typically make my bets. I got away from it last week, and maybe that's why it was bad. But the line here is Texas -1.5. All right, so right now in 2020, which is a weird year, we know the average home field advantage is 1.5 points. So if you take the fact that Texas is away, or that Texas is home, and you take that away from them, that means you're taking the 1.5 points away. So what is Vegas telling you? That these two teams are even. If they play on a neutral field tomorrow, do I think Texas wins that game? No. So I don't buy into Texas being a 1.5 point favorite, because I would take Iowa State on a neutral field. I would also take Iowa State to go into Austin, Texas and win, which is what I'm going to do. Give me 31-28. Stay the heck away from that over-under. I think that is a very dangerous bet, but I'm going to take the Cyclones to get the win and cover that 1.5 points against Texas. Nice. Told you, it's getting weird.
Hey, when you have a Big 12 team and you don't think it's going to go over, it's a little weird.
It is. I mean, the SEC teams, I feel pretty confident, are going to go over. But these Big 12 teams, I don't know what's going to happen. By the way, I do want to point something out, though. As bad as I was last week, I did have the under on the Wisconsin-Northwestern game. That was the one that was probably my best pick of all last week. So let's get to game number three here, Mississippi State versus Ole Miss. The line, Ben, Ole Miss -9.5, over under 67. Give me your thoughts on Lane Kiffin up against Mike Leach.
Yeah, so this is the year after the piss miss with two new coaches.
This is going to be such an entertaining game.
I can't wait for it. Look, Mike Leach, the Pirate in Mississippi State, came out on fire, just punching LSU in the mouth and putting up 44 against them. But since they haven't scored more than 24 in a single game and lost to Kentucky by only putting up 2 points.
Let's keep something in mind. Kentucky just surrendered 66 points to Alabama, and Mississippi State scored 2 against them. Carry on.
Yep. Yep, exactly. So, look, KJ Costello started out the year as their starting quarterback, and he's not even the quarterback anymore. Will Rogers has taken that over. And, you know, for good reason, because Will Rogers actually played pretty decently against Georgia and kept that game competitive. Which you haven't really seen from Mississippi State in a while. They lost to Alabama 41-0. So, which, I mean, most teams lose to Alabama pretty bad. Kylan Hill was a really good running back last year. He's probably the most talented player on that team. He hasn't had too much success. And honestly, not a lot of players really stand out on the Mississippi State team. No wide receivers have over 400 yards this season, which for an air raid offense is not very good. They're losing the team 17-28, 330 yards being outgained 367. On the flip side, you have the Lane Train, Mr. Throw Your Playbook 50 yards in the sky and land into the student section, have your TA run and grab that bad boy. They are, I don't know how to even present this, 41-41 is their average this year, which is wild. It just shows they know how to score, but they also don't know how to stop anyone. So if Mississippi State were to go over 24 in this game, Ole Miss is the team to do it against. There's not a lot of defense. They are outgaining teams 565 to 536, allowing an average of 536 yards a game. Wild. Matt Corral has done very well. He's 74% on the year, 2,359 yards, 22 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He's also run for 301 and 3 touchdowns. Ole Miss also has Elijah Moore, who may be one of the best wide receivers in the SEC. Over 1,000 yards on the season, 14.2 yards per carry or per catch, and 8 touchdowns. I think Ole Miss, playing at home after that wild game last year, is going to take care of business. I love 9.5 because I think it's going to be a pretty significant win. I have Mississippi winning, covering. I don't know about the over-under on this because I don't know if Mississippi State can do anything. So I'm going to stay away from that, but I do think Ole Miss will win 41-24.
41-24. Ben taking the fighting Lane Kiffins. So I got to be honest with you. When I was putting my pick together, I was laughing at how back and forth I went with this one. I've never felt less confident about a pick than I feel about this one. So take that for what take that for what you will. But I will tell you, I'm very, very tempted to take Ole Miss. I really, really am. Lane Kiffin has completely won me over these past 2 years. He's fun. He's smart. He's winning. Mike Leach, he's really smart. He's a bit arrogant, bit of a hothead. And quite frankly, his team has been all over the place. They love to throw the ball. Average 53 attempts per game, the most of any team in the country. Yet, despite the fact that they throw that much, they only rank 20th in the country in passing yards per game, which feels really low when you're throwing the ball all the time. However, Ole Miss has one of the worst defensive units in the country. They allow 8.9 yards per pass and 256 passing yards per game. So if there's ever a team, Mississippi State's like, who in our wildest dreams would we love to play? It would be Ole Miss. So now I feel really good about Mississippi State. But then I see this. Ole Miss ranks 11th in third down conversions, and Mississippi State ranks 97th. So Ole Miss has the potential to play a game of keep away and keep their defense just completely off the field, which is going to diminish anything that Mike Leach and his offense is going to do. And Mike Leach is not going to extend drives. So I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, okay, well, now I lean Ole Miss. But then we got to factor in the line, and we got to think about the numbers. So on paper, I'm like, I love Ole Miss. That's the team I want to bet. I think they're the better team. But 9.5 points is really just way too much because Ole Miss wants to win this game. And Lane Kiffin knows the winner of this game is going to have a huge recruiting edge over the next couple of years. So the way he's going to coach this one is keep it out of Will Rogers' hands. He does not want Mississippi State to keep throwing the ball. So this is going to become a game of keep away. It's going to become a game of time of possession. I think he's going to try and run the ball and slow the pace down, which means we're going to get fewer and fewer possessions, which means this high offensive game we think we're going to get, I don't think we're going to get, which is exactly, to Ben's point, stay away from the over-under. But because I think Ole Miss tries to slow the game down and tries to make it so Mississippi State has to find a way to score late to have a chance of winning, I think 9.5 points is going to be way too much for this team to cover. I mean, that is a huge line. I'm going to take Ole Miss to win. But I'm taking the Bulldogs with the points, and I think this one is 34-28. Give me the Rebels with the win. Told you it's getting weird. Just all over the place tonight. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a weird, well, it's not really weird, but we're going to take a break. On the other side of this break, we have Maryland versus Indiana. Indiana looking to come back from their loss last week against Ohio State. And Auburn playing Alabama in the Iron Bowl. In the line, they're a ridiculous 24.5 points. Can you imagine Auburn getting 24.5 points? It's absurd. So all of that and more, we'll be right back. This is Full Press Coverage, Moneyline. All right, so our outro music did not play correctly, nor did our intro music. So hope you enjoyed the commercial break. A little awkward for me because normally that stuff comes on. But we are now back, and again, we are presented by Full Press Coverage. Please go visit our friends over at Sportscaster. That is Sportscaster, CASTR.com. You can follow Full Press Coverage, listen to Follow the Puck, Full Press Coverage Live, which is in the mornings. They're going to be going tomorrow morning. I'm sure recapping what's going on tonight. We're actually recording this on a Monday, so tonight the Bucks and Rams are playing. So I'm sure they'll be talking about that in the morning, which will be fun. Make sure you guys go and visit them. Watch all the good stuff happening over at Sportscaster. Lastly, if you have not already, you must download our app. I say it every week, but literally, if you're a sports fan, which, good God, if you've made it through three games of this and you're not a sports fan, I think you're probably some creepy stalker. I'm going to ask that you go away. But if you're a sports fan, download our app, Full Press Coverage, on the App Store. Get all sorts of great content. There are articles, podcasts. We've got podcasts for every single team. We've got podcasts like for minor league wrestling, I think. Like, we go deep with the stuff. Download the app. Give us a listen. All right, game four of the weekend, Ben. Maryland, the Terrapins, will head to Indiana, to Bloomington. And the line here is Hoosiers -11.5. Over under is 62.5. Ben, is Indiana a football school now?
I don't know if they're a football school yet, but this year in 2020 AD, man, it's it's a different football year. And Indiana definitely impressed me last week with the way they performed against Ohio State, a game where I expected them to lose by at least 21. At one point in time, Ohio State was up by 28. But, you know, that was last week. One thing that didn't happen last week is Maryland playing a game, because they haven't played since the 7th of November. They've had a three-week gap. The year that is 2020 has impacted them quite a bit, with coronavirus canceling lots of games or postponing or whatever you want to call it. We'll see if they get to make those up. So right now, Maryland's only played three games. They're looking like a Pac-12 team coming into this one. I expect them to be a little rusty, and so that's why when you look at the stats, it's going to be a little weird. But I love this game because of their quarterback, and we'll get into that just now. If you look at Maryland, their stats this year, they're averaging losing to teams 28-35. Now, they're 2-1, and the reason that they're averaging losing to teams is because they got punched in the mouth and curb stomped by the Fighting Reese Davises 43-31 first game of the season. So you take that Northwestern out, they've actually performed fairly well. They did have a 1-point win over Minnesota, so, I mean, take it as you will. But I love their quarterback, Talia Tungavailoa, and yes, I did write that out so I could actually pronounce it. He's 67.4% on the year, 770 yards, 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, run for 56, and scored 2 touchdowns on the ground. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. It's going to take him another year to really get into it, but we all know what Tua does, and as long as you don't have him on your fantasy team last week, then you love him as well. One thing to say for Maryland, they have a top running back named Jake Funk. Fantastic name. 336 yards, 7.8 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns on the year so far. Now back over to Indiana. They're beating teams 34-24, 387-378. So offense, defense-wise, pretty even, which is not great. Michael Penix, 58.7% on the year, 1561, 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. They did give Ohio State a actually competitive game because Ohio State decided to stop playing in the third quarter. But, you know, it takes a team to go up against Goliath and not quit. And that's what Indiana does. So I feel good for them. Also, they have some crazy names on this team. Their top wide receiver is Ty Freifogel, 642 yards, 20.7 yards per catch, 7 touchdowns on the year. And then, whoop, Philor, 3, and that's spelled W-H-O-P, 343 yards, 11.4 yards per catch, and 2 touchdowns. When you look at the two teams, I think Maryland's going to come into this really, really rusty. I like the 11.5-point spread for Indiana. I think they're going to win and cover. Because I don't think Maryland's going to put up as many points as we would expect them to potentially do, I'm taking the under in this one, but I wouldn't bet it because it's going to be very, very close. I have the final score, 38-21, Indiana.
38-21, Indiana. This is my bet of the week, honestly. So why did I not like Indiana last week? Because, like, remember last week I said Ohio State minus 20.5 was money. But why? I said Indiana survived on forcing turnovers and Justin Fields doesn't throw any. So, yeah, Indiana, they forced 3 of those turnovers last week against Ohio State. And Justin Fields, in that process, potentially lost his Heisman Trophy. So, the turnover thing, it's real. They can do it against the best of the best. The fact that Indiana has gone toe-to-toe with the best team in the Big Ten and said, we're going to force you to turn the ball over. And remember, Ohio State was doing that early on. This was a game that, and Ohio State did go up 35-7 in the third quarter, but this was a game that was back and forth early on. So, Indiana was forcing those turnovers. Now, here's the thing. Maryland, they average 2 giveaways per game, which is 99th in the country. So they love to give the ball to the other team. Indiana is going to force some picks in this game. So they're going to get extra possessions. Another thing, Indiana was down 35-7 last week in the third quarter. They came back and made it a 1-possession game with 10 minutes left in the fourth. That is absolutely unbelievable. They can score, and they can score quick. But more importantly than that, they have a real sense of fight and not backing down. And Tom Allen has done a heck of a job instilling that in his guys. Maryland, on the other hand, has not played a game in 3 weeks and has one of the worst third down defenses in the country. So I think Maryland comes out cold. Indiana's going to come out looking to make a point. I think they're going to go up early, bounce back in a big way, and I think they're going to crush the Terrapins this week. Give me Indiana pick of the week, 41-23 over Maryland. And I actually, I kind of like the over in this one just a little bit. I'd probably stay away from it, but I am liking that 62.5 number. All right, Iron Ball. Ben, the line here, I'm sorry, my friend, it's Bama minus 24.5, which is crazy considering that Auburn is actually ranked right now 22nd in the country. And the over-under here is 62.5. But it feels like Auburn hasn't had, like, I mean, okay, they definitely underperformed somewhat. Like, you lost to Georgia, you lost to South Carolina. You can't really do that. But you look at them, you're like, okay, well, they're 5-2. They're not bad. Do you like the 24.5 point line? Does that seem like too much?
So here's the thing, is that Auburn, even in a decent year like 2018, which was only 2 years ago, Auburn just doesn't play well in Tuscaloosa. They lost by 31 that year, 52-21. And Auburn hasn't won in Tuscaloosa since 2010, noted the comeback on their way to the national championship under a 24-point deficit that Cam Newton led the team to win in T-Town. So Auburn just doesn't play well in Tuscaloosa is one of the big things. However, if you look at the talent on this Auburn team, I don't think this year is going to be one of those huge blowout years. Granted, here of late, Auburn played very well against LSU, had a three-week gap, played decent against Tennessee last week. Both teams held Tennessee to 17 points, so I think the defensive side is pretty even there. Alabama's defense isn't great this year, which is one of the things that, you know, gives any Auburn fan hope in this game. And we'll just break into the stats, seeing why this is such a huge spread. Auburn is currently beating teams 29-22, outscoring teams 403-402, so pretty even. Alabama, however, is beating teams 49-19, outscoring or outpacing teams 549-359. So Alabama on this offense, while their defense isn't great, they're just blowing teams out of the water. And that's kind of where the experts, I think, believe that this game will not be close. However, you got to look at the way that Auburn plays in this matchup. You know, Gus Malzahn, he chokes on a lot of games. Against Alabama, not so much. Actually kept it pretty competitive, won two of the past three games for Iron Bowls. Now, note that in between those is a 31-point loss to Alabama in Tuscaloosa. So, could very well be time for another one of those. I don't think so. If you look at the defensive side, Alabama hasn't played a good defense this whole year. Auburn is going to be the best defense they play in the SEC. And that's kind of weird. That is 2020. Defenses don't exist. Auburn still has a decent one. If you look at the fact that Najee Harris is still at Alabama, Auburn's run defense doesn't look as good as they have in the past. So I think if Auburn's able to slow down Najee Harris, make Mac Jones perform, he had two pick sixes last year. I don't think he's going to do that again. He's on his way to a potential Heisman berth. We'll have to see. But I think Auburn's defense is the difference in this game. Auburn's got to be able to run the ball. If Tank Bigsby comes out, he did get injured last week. If he comes out, I think they keep it close. But while I'm going ahead and saying this, note that since CJ, you and I picked the Auburn-Kentucky game early in the season where we were almost spot on, I have not picked an Auburn game correctly since. So take my opinion and analysis with a grain of salt because I'm calling for the upset in this one. I think Auburn goes into Tuscaloosa, keeps Alabama to the lowest point total of the entire season, somehow figures out how to win by a field goal. The reason I'm doing that is because I love the minus 24.5. I take Auburn to cover, and if Auburn wins, they're a 1,000-point underdog. A 50-cent bet gets me $5, and I'm feeling good about that.
So hold on, you're taking Auburn to win outright?
Well, I'm picking the spread initially because it's a tasty spread. I love it.
Okay, so you're taking Auburn to cover 24.5, but you're not taking them to win straight up.
I'm placing the bet too, man. Might as well.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I think it might be time that we go and cancel Moneyline. It's been great to know everybody, but that about does it for me. What? Benjamin.
Hey.
Benjamin. No, Benjamin. You're going to sit down and listen to your lecture like you used to do with whatever parent would lecture you. There is no way in hell Auburn's winning this game. Good Lord. All right. Let's start off with the first thing. Auburn's injured. Bradarius Ham, he's questionable. Alec Jackson, he's questionable. So there's two offensive linemen right there that may not play. And then you add in Tank Bigsby, and which is, by the way, Tank Bigsby is just the most Alabama name I've ever heard in my life. If you ever said there's a running back in Alabama and his name is Tank Bigsby, I'm like, of course there is. There's a running back named Tank in Alabama every year. So listen, but he's injured. So now you're taking potentially Bo Nix without two offensive linemen and without two offensive linemen and potentially without a running back in this game. I think that's a tough thing to ask him to do to go and win. Now a lot of people, they see these games and you think, oh, big rivalry game, obviously. You know, if it's a big rivalry game, it's going to be close because there's always that off chance of a rivalry game. You know, it's that old cliche. You never know what's going to happen. But since Nick Saban came to Alabama, whenever these two teams play and Auburn is ranked 20th or worse, Alabama wins by an average of 27.5 points. So yes, rivalry game. And if that's how you want to place your bet, you place your bet that way. But this rivalry with Nick Saban at Alabama has no history of really being unpredictable. We get close games when both teams are good. Cam Newton, Nick Marshall, when Auburn has a really, really good team, they play Alabama really close. When they don't, Alabama stomps them. Honestly, I just think, and Ben, you can maybe disagree with me on this, but I've watched Auburn play, and I think they're broken. I really do. I just don't think they realize it yet. I watched them play Tennessee, and I mean, honestly, I thought Tennessee could have won that game. Auburn doesn't rank in the top 50 in any statistical category besides third down conversion, which, granted, third down conversion, that means a whole lot to me. I'm a big believer in third down conversion, although, I mean, maybe this year I'm 25 and 33. Maybe I should stop believing the same things I've always believed in. But despite them being good on third down, it's offset by the fact that their third down defense ranks 118th in the country. So as good as they are at extending drives, they're terrible at preventing teams from extending drives. What does Alabama have a history of doing well? Converting third downs. In fact, Alabama ranks third in the country in doing so. So they're going to constantly be extending drives, limiting the touches from Bo Nix. I expect Mac Jones to have a big day against a defense that, quite frankly, I think they've had trouble replacing Derrick Brown and the other guys that were in their front seven last year. I think this could be a game that Nick Saban could use to send Gus Malzahn packing. I mean, I think Alabama's going to come in here on a mission. And Ben, I'm sorry, I think this Saturday is going to be a tough one for you. I think Alabama's just going to roll on top of Auburn and win this one 45-17.
Hey, anything can happen in the Iron Bowl. It can be close.
But Auburn's, it can't, though. Ridiculous, it can't
game. It can. Dude, Auburn should not have been in the game last year, and Auburn won that game.
Auburn was like I'm a top 10 team last year.
And they're very, very similar. The defense is a little bit worse without KJ Britt. And so the linebacker is a little bit worse. The line is a little bit worse. Besides that, the offense is almost the same.
I don't think – I feel like Bo Nix was playing at a much higher level last year than he's played this year. I feel like he's regressed, no?
Gus Malzahn was calling the plays last year. It's taken him a while to get into the new offensive scheme. But when you have him as a mobile quarterback, allow him to run more and not make him stay in the pocket or hand the ball off, he's done better in the back half of the season. You're right, though. I mean, Auburn right now very well could, you know, be a two-in team. So it could very well be a curb stomping unlike no other. And definitely, if Auburn can't stop Najee Harris, expect that. But because it's a rivalry game, because Auburn's kind of on the upswing, Alabama's just been trucking along all season long. I think if Auburn's defense can slow down Alabama, Alabama's defense can't stop Auburn. That's why I haven't won.
I just been.
We'll see, man. I'll eat crow next week if I'm totally wrong. If I'm totally
you,
off on this,
you
one.
Have destroyed me all season long. But I think you're out of your ever loving mind if Alabama loses this game.
I told everyone don't take my opinion or stats on this. Got the orange and blue glasses on for this one, and I know it.
As you should. I mean, to be fair, this is Carolina Duke of basketball or football rather. You know, this is one of the biggest college football games of the year. So I definitely can appreciate it. But if you're laying real money on Auburn winning this game, Ben, we're going to have to make some connections to probably a financial planner, probably a pastor, so you can go to what is it called? Hit confession. You're gonna need some help coming next week, and it's okay. Well, I'm your friend. I'm here to support you.
This is a good time for this. I put $30 into this, I put $20 into this, and they gave me $10, so I had $30, and I make 50-cent bets. So, look, if I lose it all, don't care, because it's not like I'm going to pull it out eventually anyway.
That's true.
However, if you look at my numbers, I'm 56.9% on the year, so doing something right.
Yeah, no, you're
probably not in this game. Don't know. But hey, here's the thing. Here's the thing, if Auburn pulls out the upset of the decade, then that's a 10x win. So, I mean, why not, you know, put 50 cents on that bad boy? And I do think it'll be close. I really, really do.
Well, Ben, I don't, but best of luck to you. Now, so far this year, granted, you've had me. You've done a very, very good job this year. In fact, I think you've only had
two
losing weeks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, two losing weeks and one 500 week. There's a week three we had a game get canceled, so we only ended up with four. And you went 2-2 that week. Ben has been killing it. But I think Ben's going to get killed in this game, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Ben. I'm so sorry.
We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Any closing thoughts on this Thanksgiving weekend podcast?
It's a good long weekend of college football. I think this is coming out on Wednesday, so everyone have a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the couple games on Friday that we called earlier and the Saturday games. Should be a good long weekend of college football. Everyone be safe and enjoy it.
Be safe. Enjoy the turkey, the mac and cheese. Ben, I think we maybe talked about it last week. What's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Black eyed peas, buddy.
That's right. Black eyed peas. Terrible.
I like black eyed peas and some barbecue sauce on some white meat turkey.
Black eyed peas is the equivalent to picking a 24.5-point dog to win outright.
You know what? There you go. That's what you're getting here.
All right, everybody, have a safe, wonderful Thanksgiving. This is Moneyline presented by Full Press Coverage. We will be back next week. Have a good weekend.
Nobody open. Running out of time. Finally throws. And it is good. Touchdown, Dyrell Roberts.
Next time. Throws.
56-yarder. It's got, no, does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone. He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back.